You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Heroes, adventurers, oddities. Looks like they've all made it to the Nexus. Little bit heavy on the oddities.
And Daryl.
Back in my day, we'd have this payload delivered already.
Greetings and welcome to episode 144 of the Training Dummies podcast, recorded for you on November 9th, 2016. My name is Rob and I'm refreshed after BlizzCon. I'm loving it. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling hyped. I'm in the zone. And with me tonight, Daryl, how about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I had such a great time at BlizzCon. I cannot wait to go back next year again. It is such a great time.
I was having this already, like even sitting in the airport before I caught my flight back, like thinking about the next one. I'm like, well, I guess we start planning for that now.
Yeah, we do.
Even my wife was like, man, this is a pretty good thing for you. I'm glad you get to do this every year. And the way she phrased it, I was like, yes, I get to do this every year. No more permission. I'm in. We've done it. Nice. We've done it, boys. We're there.
That's awesome.
You may hear tonight our very, 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 very special guest. Can we please have a warm Training Dummies welcome for Steph?
Now, hello.
If you guys don't know, Steph, also aka Steph Oddish, is an awesome streamer and like a community figure for Heroes of the Storm, and we wanted to follow up with Steph about a lot of what happened at BlizzCon and maybe see just do a little bit of a wrap up and talk about heroes and esports in general. So thank you, Steph, so much for agreeing to join us tonight.
Happy to be here. This is cool.
Well, we're gonna get to know you a little bit in the rare event that people don't know you already. Why don't we start off with a couple questions here? What is your favorite role in Hero in Heroes of the Storm?
I currently play ranged DPS for my team. I'm on Team Blaze. We're a high-end amateur team. We're really trying to get that top 8 for HGC coming soon. But my favorite has to be Chromie. Chromie's my girl. She's also my spirit person.
Your spirit gnome.
My spirit gnome, yeah.
Nice.
She's fantastic.
Nice. What is the origin of the name Steph Oddish?
Well, I like the wordplay. Well, it kind of has two meanings, right? Like, odd-ish, it's kind of like, I'm strange, a little bit odd, which is 100% true. But also is a really adorable Pokemon. That name has been with me since forever. Like, it started in elementary school on the playground. All the other kids were like, what's your favorite Pokemon? Because Pokemon was all the rage. Mm-hmm. And you had to be like Charizard or Blastoise or something strong. And kind of in a moment of spite, I was like, nah, Oddish is the best. And, yeah. You know, they teased me for it, which just made me hold on to it tighter. And so I kind of never let go. It became my nickname, and it looped around from being uncool to cool, and I'm happy where I am now.
Nice.
It definitely is. Or, and if not, you've made it cool. Maybe that's what's going on here.
Yeah. It's mine now.
If you didn't tell me it was a Pokemon, I wouldn't have known.
This is adorable. If you go to my stream,
your age is showing.
Because I'm old.
If you click the follow button, you get a little Oddish that jumps up and down. I've got so much Oddish on my stream. It's fantastic.
What would you say is your most fond memory because of gaming?
Well, two things come to mind. First, I used to raid with my family. My brother and my dad.
Oh, wow.
We would do Molten Core vanilla raids. Nice. Guild. It's fun because the guild didn't know that we were related. And, you know, it was kind of under wraps. And, but I super enjoyed those days, even though I was an annoying child. It was excellent. Three years ago, while I was at college at ECU, I played in a Call of Duty tournament, Black Ops 2. It was a collegiate tournament, national, and I took home the grand prize. It was at a LAN event in California and won myself a computer and a bunch of money for the school. It was surreal.
Oh, right on. That's awesome.
That's huge, man. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So this competing in esports is old hat for you then?
Yeah, I've always, been good at pushing buttons. And in Call of Duty, we always said, yeah, we just click heads. You know, that's all you do. It's really easy. But yeah, I've just been a nerd my whole life. I started playing video games at a really young age. I've got a knack for it. And I'm always competitive in whatever I do. So figure if I've put this much time into video games, I should pursue esports.
Nice, nice. Well, then in that same thread, how was your experience with Heroes of the Dorm? Because you were in that this past spring, right?
Yes, and actually the year before.
Oh, the year before, both. Nice.
Both times I was team captain and made a team from the ground up. The first year I lost to ASU in the round of 16. And they went on to almost win. They placed second. And then this last year, I made it to the round of 8 and lost to ASU again. And this time, they won it all. I really feel like our team could have made it to the top 4 if we were placed in a different bracket.
But right.
Such is life. And I'm still super grateful for Heroes of the Dorm because that's how I got my publicity. You know, everyone was like, you need to make a Twitter. Where's her Twitter? Where's her, you know? I actually got there's on the front page of Reddit, I don't know if anyone remembers, was a post entitled Dear Oddish.
I remember. Yep. Totally.
It's just like, we want you. And that's when I decided that it became possible for me to become a streamer and become known in the community. And since then, I've dropped out of my master's program. I now play video games full time. And
I'm just jealous.
Trying to do the best I can.
Nice. That's awesome.
That's kind of amazing. I remember that post exactly. And now kind of hearing your version of that, that's seriously awesome.
It was surreal. It was absolutely surreal.
I don't get Reddit, I never saw the post. I'm sorry.
It's not. It's just like a message board, man. It's like
people just You say that.
Hey, I didn't either. One of my friends was like, Steph, you're famous. I'm like, what?
I know you're coming around. You're even hyped about Hearthstone from what I saw.
No.
Hey, Steph, do you play any other Blizzard titles?
Yeah. I like Hearthstone. I really like Overwatch. I have that past, that history in competitive shooting, shooters. So Overwatch is a blast. Hearthstone is a blast. And then, of course, in my past, I played an absurd amount of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I think, most people admit it or not, probably, if they have any sort of history with gaming, could probably say that.
Yeah. Also, I played Warcraft 3. I played a lot of Dota back when I was a wee child. And even before that, played Orcs and Humans. So
nice.
Actually, yeah, Blizzard is
back in the vault there, yeah.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about Heroes of the Storm?
Heroes of the Storm is... So, Heroes of the Storm gets a bad rap for being this, casual MOBA, which I could go into for hours, because it's absolutely not. But the one thing it does do is when you're... It removes emphasis on things that, steal your focus and are kind of tedious and mentally draining, and puts that focus on team fighting and team play and the really fun parts of a MOBA. So I always say, that would be really hard for me to stream a game like Dota. I played Dota for 2 years, and in the laning phase, or constantly, you have to be last hitting creeps. You have to make sure that your auto attack gets the final hit. And in Dota, you also can last hit your own minions to deny experience from your enemy. And it's a game kind of warping mechanic, but also requires you to be zoned in and focused the entire time on the lane. And that's all time that I couldn't use glancing over at chat. That's time I couldn't use kind of mentally having little breaks in between the conflict, which I really appreciate. That kind of compared to StarCraft, StarCraft is a focus driven game. Wherever your focus is, your focus is the commodity of the game. It's are you going to be putting your mental focus on economy, putting your mental focus on changing the fight that's going on and micromanaging your units? So that's so stressful.
Yeah, in games that are based around actions per minute, you can't afford that currency to interact or take time or do something else besides, how much you're putting into the game.
Right. So I'd say I sacrifice map awareness to stream. So most of the time that I'm looking at the minimap, instead glancing at the minimap, trying to get a little image, and then I'm reading chat, which I do try to respond to everything said in my chat. I hate it when things get by me.
The bigger you get, the crazier that's going to get.
Yeah, that's when I get stressed out, you know, and it's at several hundreds.
Yeah, you'll be there soon.
Take deep breaths.
What was maybe your favorite thing about BlizzCon this year?
Weird Al is pretty awesome. That just came to mind immediately. Playing Ragnaros was amazing. Watching MVP Plaque lose was
that was intense.
The most excited I think I've ever gotten in my life. Like, I was jumping up and down and just screaming. It was amazing.
So they came around and handed out these little, plexiglass, little light up things with their logo on them to everybody in the front, couple of areas. And Daryl and I had one of these things, and I was like, yeah. And then wait a minute, a minute goes by, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm cheering for MVP Black. I don't even know if I want these guys to win. And sure enough, man, they got destroyed, man. They got treated
so good.
Oh, man, it was incredible. I loved every minute of it. I mean, no offense to them. They're a talented, amazing team, but that was wonderful to watch.
Well, yeah, it's amazing to see. MVP Plaque did not play poorly at all. I didn't see any mistakes. They got beaten by, the next level. You're not making any mistakes, and you're adding this layer of finesse and professional play. It's gorgeous to watch.
I know that you can't spell Fnatic without NA, so maybe that's where... is that what the announcer said? Something like that.
I remember that. There we go. Yeah, I remember that. That was good. Rob, do you have any bonus questions before we get into the more heroes stuff here in esports?
No, not this time. I do not.
All right.
This is Molson.
And Slauncha.
From Bitter and Salty Podcast. And you're listening.
You suck. Messed it up. Delete. Edit. To Training Dummies.
With Rob.
And Daryl.
I love it.
We told them we weren't going to edit it.
You get one take to record the bumper, and we're using whatever we get. That's amazing. All right, if you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter. That is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. All right, so BlizzCon was this past weekend, and the one thing that I think everyone has noticed is BlizzCon is really putting a huge push on esports. There was a massive Overwatch arena that they had set up, which we watched.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, we watched a couple games in there, and it was incredible. They've got the WoW arena, and I didn't watch any of that, but I heard a lot of positive things about it. They also had the Heroes Championship and the StarCraft, as always, and then Hearthstone. So there's a big push for that. So that's kind of where we want to go with this, and probably more specifically than anything else, is Heroes of the Storm. So I guess one of the big things that came about this is, you know, last year we had Cloud9. They took everything. They won it all. North American team. Yet this year, there was no North American teams in the top four. Now, is that something to be concerned about, or is that just the way it went this year?
Yeah, it seems to be the nature of esports, is that right. North America has a hard time. I don't know if Rob wants to... I cut you off?
No, I was agreeing with you.
So, I mean, I think, especially we see Korean teams dominating in esports, but that's not surprising considering the culture much more favors esports, you know. Here, less people play, and kind of, you can be kind of shunned, because there's a big stigma around esports in general. But we're starting to see that shifting, which is, you know, a big part of that is companies like Blizzard that are embracing the dream of esports being considered as real as real sports. Mm-hmm. If not more, you know, because the playing field in esports is more even. It's a mental battle more than anything else. It's not about your physical traits or stamina. It's about, you know, whenever you beat someone in Heroes of the Storm or beat someone in Overwatch, like, you are outthinking them. You are mentally out, you know, performing them. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but it's just like, I feel like the layers of difficulty can be so infinite, and the skill caps in esports can be so infinite, just like how a simple game like chess is, it's almost impossible to master. Well, like Heroes of the Storm has so many more variables than chess does. It just excites me so much.
Well, I made a joke on Twitter the other day that, you know, now that the Overwatch League has been announced, like, now, you know, I wear video game shirts to work and stuff, but now, like, I'm going to have to, like, I feel like there's a little bit of a push. Like, I feel responsible to like, make sure that the people that I talk to at work understand that esports is legit. It's not just, like,
right.
You know,
right.
It's not just a bunch of dorks. Like, this is a thing. Like, it's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so we already talked about this, too, and you had mentioned it as one of your favorite parts from BlizzCon, but MVP Black. Now, even I thought, like, I mentioned this probably a week before, that I thought they were going to take it all. I really did, because I had watched some of their qualifiers to get to BlizzCon. I had watched some of the elimination rounds pre-BlizzCon, like the week before, and they just dominated everyone. So how did they get knocked out in the semifinals? Like, they didn't even make top, or they were top four, but yeah, they didn't make it to, yeah, top four. So it was, how did Fnatic do it? Like, what? How did Fnatic take them out?
Didn't they even have some, like, 5 and 6 minute games leading up to that?
Oh yes.
Destroyed?
It was fantastic. I'm almost getting chills just thinking about it. It's so good. Fnatic earned my fangirl in that game, in that set. It was amazing. Definitely kudos to Quacknix. Quacknix played the best Jaina I have literally ever seen. There was one Frostbolt that he fired that just went through the entire, it was like homing. I don't know how it made it, but it went all the way, finished off a target. It was a beautiful thing. Really, really kind of like what I said earlier. I feel like MVP Black played perfectly. Usually when I'm watching a game of Heroes, obviously not perfectly, but when I'm watching a game of Heroes, I see people, I usually like, okay, this is the mistake the team made, mm-hmm. and this is how the other team properly punished and snowballed off of that mistake. But while watching MVP Black, I did not see them make any errors, and yet Fnatic is killing them. It's just, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think it came down to just better execution, just good focus fire, good positioning, and in a game as volatile as Heroes of the Storm, you know, how you're playing that day, how you're feeling that day matters a lot. And Fnatic were playing on another level.
What are some of the common mistakes, since you're able to sit back and watch and evaluate kind of from the sideline, from the screen, what are some of the most common mistakes you see, like, high level teams make?
Well, at the highest level, it's pretty difficult because you don't see too many mistakes. The largest ones are, I see a lot of Korean teams like to go gank their enemies on their enemies' safe rotations. Like, I forget what game it was, Azul thought he was totally fine to go back to mid lane because Sky Temple, and there's a whole, you know, there's so much distance for his opponents to cover, to set up in a bush where he's walking, but they were there and they snowballed off that kill. So because of this threat of ganks and how difficult it is to set up on the opponent's safe rotate for it, but also have your opponent stay on guard and not see it coming, lots of Korean teams will safe soak their lanes. They will hide in the bush. They won't push the lane. And they'll try to make as few of their members visible on the minimap as possible, so their opponents do not have the information to feel safe or know where to go or anything.
That makes sense. That's a good answer.
So getting back to the MVP then, and you said they weren't making any mistakes. Now, I watched all four of these, and for a while there, it was looking close that it was going to be a 3-0 win for Fnatic, because the third map was Towers of Doom, which I I hate that map, by the way. But anyway, I love it. Okay. I hate that
you
map.
You see that in every one of these finals matches. Everybody picks that.
But anyway, Fnatic was up, like, what was it, like 12 to 24 or something at one point?
Mm-hmm.
And then MVP just came back and won it 12-0. So how were they able to pull that off? Like, what was Fnatic starting to make mistakes in that match?
Well, I'd have to look at the draft again. I believe it heavily came down to draft. Also, MVP Black has an absurd win rate on Towers of Doom. They're like 90% on that map, as far as I know. It's it's crazy. And you have to understand that Towers of Doom is the map that allows the biggest comebacks of any other map. It is the why I love it is it's the only map that the objective does not give you map pressure. Like the Dragon Knight pushes in your towers, the Garden Terror pushes in your structures, you know, the Sky Temples shoot your structures down.
Mm-hmm.
The temples on Towers of Doom don't do that. So when you win an objective, you're not actually advancing the map in your favor. So late game, you're still just as even in structures, even if you're behind in shots. And then late game, your respawn timers are so long that I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, you can always come back on Towers of Doom. It can be 40 shots to 4, and you can still come back because it's just a matter of just continually killing your opponents. And once you have the team fight advantage, you can dance around and hold that advantage. So I believe the MVP, and it's really hard to say MVP Black. I believe they had a really good late game team. Also, you know, I'm trying to remember the team fight that really turned the game. And it was amazing because MVP won a team fight and then immediately like capped every tower, every keep, and all the bell towers. And it felt like a game that was close immediately ended after Fnatic lost one fight.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had more details on that.
No, that's good. You mentioned a little bit about the drafts. What were some of the most crazy outlandish picks that you saw in the finals?
It's been kind of, people have been playing it for the past week or in the qualifiers, but Dahaka continuously surprises me.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like Dahaka is a weak character, and he is. His kit is pretty terrible, but he has a global, and teams have been using his global very, very well. Was it the Towers of Doom game? There's one Towers of Doom game where the Dahaka got licked Zeratul six or seven times the game. It felt like the Dahaka single-handedly shut down the opponent's Zeratul. It was beautiful. But mostly, the Dahaka is a global that has the best wave clear of any global. So he can go into an offlane and push it and be ready to go back and fight. And you kind of have to do a little artsy dance if you have a Dahaka on your team, because you don't really want to engage. The same with any time you have a global. Your global can generate value for you if the team fight is in a standoff. Like, say you're on Battlefield for Eternity and both teams are defending their Immortals. This is the time where, this is why you draft a global on Battlefield for Eternity, because when you're at that standstill, you can have your Brightwing waltz into a lane and start generating you advantage. And that forces the enemy team to make a decision and push into you or do something disadvantageous for them. Otherwise, you're just going to get pulling ahead with that global.
Okay. It's been a while since we've done a Heroes of the Storm episode where I need terminology defined. But I'm going to ask you to define what you mean by a global and all of that, because it's, I'm not entirely sure what you mean when you're saying all this.
No, sure, that's fine. Okay, so soak is experience.
Right.
When you're in a lane, you're getting you're soaking experience, which is building, you know, leveling up your team. A global is a character that has the ability to teleport across map, like unlimited distance. So Falstad's Fly is a global.
Okay.
ETC stage dive, right wing teleport, and Dahaka dive. And, like, Abathur can do it.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, got it.
No, happy to explain.
Yeah, it was just a new terminology I hadn't heard before, that's all. So, okay, yeah. Cool.
No, that totally makes sense. I've always kind of like poo-pooed on Dahaka a little bit, and you know, when our friends would play him, I'm like, ah, come on, you could do better than that. But you saw him a lot, and he seemed to be really, really well utilized. So I don't know if we're going to start seeing that pop up a lot more across, you know, even quick match games. But another, I saw a lot of Medivh. Is that pretty common now to you? I never really felt like that great about Medivh because, I don't know, to me it seems like the game is all about burst, and I'm not entirely sure where he fits into that.
Ooh, what did you just say, that the game is all about burst right now?
Well, it feels like it. Am I wrong there?
No, you're totally right, but that is why Medivh is beautiful. It's because he's got the ability to mitigate burst more than almost any other character. So,
some mitigation.
The enemy team takes Kerrigan. You can negate the Kerrigan with your Medivh. Because the Kerrigan, you have got enough time to react to the Kerrigan dropping the combo for you to put a protection on the person getting comboed. Mm-hmm. Also, if the opponent's team is heavy burst, trying to burst down your teammate, you can put a portal at their feet, and they have to kill that target so fast to keep them from going through that portal into safety.
So it's not about the damage going out, but it's more about countering it in ways to shut it
correct.
Off.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. I mean, just saw Medivh a lot, and I know a lot of people were trying to pull the, like, you know, different portal combos. You know, there was the Astral Authority game with Butcher and, or not Butcher, mm-hmm. but Stitches. And Medivh, and that was amazing to watch. But unfortunately, it just didn't do enough for them, I guess.
Yeah. Also, Medivh offers a disengage. You can portal your whole team out of a fight. Disengaging is surprisingly powerful. Mm-hmm. It's like the main use of Falstad Gust is the enemy team is on top of us and we don't want to fight right now, or we feel like we're going to lose this fight. You can just press a reset button, push the team away, and get your team to safety. Medivh kind of offers the same utility.
So Medivh's all about utility then. Do you think his vision is pretty strong too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I saw several times Medivh just flying around. Mm-hmm. So, not doing anything, just flying around.
You have to consider Medivh a second support, which does make it hard to draft a composition with Medivh in it. Because if you have two supports on your team, you can't go double tank, really.
Okay.
You can try to, but you generally always want two damage on your team. A melee damage, a ranged damage, and you want your ranged damage to be able to poke your opponents to keep them from just kind of keep them from fighting you at a comfortable range and forcing you out of position. And a melee damage are like two frontline heroes, so either two tanks or a tank and a melee damage. Yeah, sorry, I could go off on drafting.
No, that's awesome.
That's good.
I don't know if this is going to be a record-breaking four-hour episode, but sounds like we're going to have
to. Holy moly. I have a bedtime.
Whatever, man. You're a professional. You're a gamer now. This is
Yeah, right? Yeah, what am I kidding? I'm going to be up to like 3 or 4 in the morning.
There you go.
A girl can dream.
Right. Okay, so we talked about the MVP match. What about the other semifinal? Now, unfortunately, I didn't watch it. There's just so much at BlizzCon. I could only spend so much time watching Heroes. But it was Ballistics and was it Dignitas, I believe? Was it Dignitas or was it someone else? I know it was Ballistics. Yeah. Okay. Did you watch those matches?
I did.
Okay, so is there any insight you can give us on those? A quick recap? No.
Kind of. I think Dignitas had a very obviously weak player on their team, and Ballistics exploited that weakness immensely.
Okay.
Arthalon died several times every game, and it was kind of hard to watch. You don't
expect that from that level of the finals, really.
Plays like I do, then.
Well, I mean, I think really good teams can make good players look really bad. You know, if you're making little mistakes and you're getting
exploited, I guess.
Yeah, right. It's just like, you know, it's just if you're dying a lot, it just looks like you're playing bad, but really you're doing your best and the opponents are just getting the better of you because you don't have proper positioning. Also, playing in a LAN is so hard. You know, when I played Call of Duty, you know, the first match was terrible for me. My hands were just trembling, and playing a first-person shooter with just that much anxiety, just making your arm shake is so difficult. You know, I mean, fortunately, after a little bit, I was able to zone in and play my game. But just the pressure of BlizzCon is immense, and I think it's probably hard to get a roster that can handle it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So we had Ballistics and Fnatic in the final. So I'm guessing you watched those two?
I did.
Yes.
You did? Well, I watched some of them later. I also dipped out to watch Weird Al.
That's fair. I watched Weird Al too, so that's totally fair.
Yeah, no, I mean, some people are going to judge me for that, but I was dancing. Worth.
Nice.
We are not going to judge you for that. Not one single bit, man. I found a pretty awesome place where I was able to kick back and just enjoy it, because it was like, I played in bands for years. I toured around. I did all sorts of stuff, man. That dude blew my mind. That dude is on point. That was amazing. Like,
it really was. All his outfits and stuff.
I can't say anything bad about it, man. Whether or not you like the music or the parody or the theme or whatever it is, man, that dude was on point. I have like a whole new level of respect for him.
Nice.
I still know all the lyrics to Amish Paradise.
I used to, but that was years ago. Years and years ago.
I was surprised. Man. I belted them out.
Nice.
You want to spit us a verse here, right?
No. That's okay. Unless you've got a beat handy. Actually, I should not challenge
shoot.
You.
Yeah,
do not call
I'm
that
like,
please.
Like,
nope,
hold on. Give me a sec.
Yeah, hold on. I'm sitting here. Okay, Coolio. What does it go? How does it go? How does it go? Nice.
Oh, geez, wait. Wrong app.
I can't believe you pulled out the air horn. Oh my god.
Wrong app. So this HGC, the Heroes of the Storm new format, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
It's like the hypest thing to ever be. It's amazing. HGC, the new format is the top 8 teams, the top 8 Heroes of the Storm teams will get contracted by Blizzard. Each team will be guaranteed $100,000 a year. So split 5 ways, that's $20,000 a year.
Okay.
Baseline pay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's not on top of tournament winnings. It is on top of tournament winnings. So you can get money for winning tournaments, and also these people that are getting, you know, they're already contracted by their pro orgs probably are going to get some pretty sweet deals. So it's the dream. It's getting a lot of people interested in Heroes of the Storm. Part of what they want to do is they want to make Blizzard is tired of all these roster swaps.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see stable rosters that spectators can fall in love with. It can really elevate the game to that next level of, like, this is a really big deal esport.
So this is basically the Heroes version of similar to the Overwatch League that was announced at BlizzCon.
Right.
So this is like full-on metered, managed. It's all about the players and making sure that people are compensated and taken care of.
Mm-hmm. They want everyone to be pro game, like full-time gamers.
Mm-hmm.
No longer like part-time gamers.
I love it.
Yeah, isn't it sweet? The first qualifier is in like a week or so.
So even though I know that I'm way past my heyday and will never do this, like, this just makes me so happy seeing this, knowing that this is like people are going to get taken care of. You're not going to, you don't have to like live in your parents' basement full time and you know, eat like bread and eat croutons and drink water in order to try and make it to some sort of event. This is like a legit thing. You can really, you as a player can actually make it into this league and, like, it doesn't matter. Like the Overwatch League one, it's like there's tryouts. You can actually go and be, you know, if you're good enough, you can do this. You don't need to be on an organization. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be a successful streamer. Like, this is a real thing. What does that mean to What does that mean to you, like, since you've, like, dropped out of school and stuff to be a gamer?
I'm so excited for any opportunity to sustain myself playing video games. And the fact that Blizzard is attempting to shift culture to being more accepting of video games, and I know it will be. I know more and more people are going to get into esports. It's only a matter of time and educating people and exposing people to it. So I'm really hopeful for the future. I think it's a good investment for Blizzard. And of course, like, if I got this HGC money, I would 100% be able to do what I love all the time. I mean, it's
HGC money. Like, you're going to make it rain at BlizzCon? Or...
I wish you could see what I was doing with my hands. Making
it rain. They've got that DJ at the Hilton Bar.
That was ridiculous.
Actually, I shouldn't even get started on that.
Yeah, please. Oh my goodness. I went to a party at the Hilton and I got shut down by security. They like... Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, it's a huge deal, and I'm trying not to count my chickens before they hatch, and because it's going to be very difficult for me to get there, but that's the dream, and that's why I've been taking all this time off. You know, I stream a lot, but I also practice more hours than I stream a day, and it works out to me playing 9 to 10 hours of HOTS every single day. And that's what you should expect from all the pro players. I'm fortunate to have streaming as a vector for me to practice and get better. Not everyone has that opportunity. A lot of us are part-time students, have part-time jobs, or just cutting into their savings.
I mean, you figure a professional, like, you know, any, you know, sort of football player, baseball, whatever the sport may be, like, the amount of dedication and practice and exercise and, you know, all the things that go into being successful, like, that can equally be measured in gaming, I believe. What do you think about that?
Oh, I totally agree. One of the challenges I've faced, I've only been in this world for 7 months, and it's way high. In college, I graduated with chemistry and biochem degrees. I was getting my master's in chemistry when I quit out. And HOTS is by far the most mentally stimulating thing I've done with my life. Like, it's just, it's so taxing and requires so much thought and effort and planning. You know, it's infinite how much you can think about where this draft is going and what the next play should be in shot calling. It's a real workout, and it's cutthroat.
So I see a lot of people turn from the focus on being a gamer to turning to management or casting. Do you think maybe this, the regulation and the, you know, making things fair and making, you know, making sure that the players get paid, do you think that's going to help people, you know, be attracted to being a player rather than kind of just dipping their toe in and going, oh, maybe I can find another way to make a living in this?
I don't want to downplay. It's really hard to be a caster. It's really hard to be a broadcaster, a personality, a manager, all these things. But those are places you go and you're not able to compete. I think everyone starts with the dream.
Oh, shoot.
Snap. Wow.
I look.
Those who can't do, teach, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I know I almost stopped myself from going down this road, but you see all these personalities emerging from ex-players. Mm-hmm. And you can't knock it because playing is so stressful and it's so intense. And it comes a time where you're not able to keep up anymore for a variety of reasons, you know,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just like hand damage, you know, it's,
well, you don't see pro gamers playing MOBAs or playing RTSs. You don't see that level of pro gamer. You don't see guys and gals in their 40s, 50s. Doing that stuff, you know, it's definitely, it's definitely, yes, you have to play at a certain level, and your dexterity and your, you know, your stamina just has to be there. So, like, I've got nothing bad to say about any of the casters. They're wonderful. They're a great, amazing group of people. I'm just wondering if maybe what we're looking at now with Overwatch League and the HGC stuff is going to be more attractive, and it's going to draw people to really want to, you know, that whole commercial about the Overwatch League stuff, about making your name and being a star. Like, that's awesome. Like, I hope that is kind of draws people in. Would you say?
Well, yeah, you want to inspire talent. Because talent is out there. Talent, like I was a casual player for so long in all these games I played, and I actually always had the potential in me to be take it to that next level. But you know, then it's like, what's it worth? How, you know, getting into the pro leagues and getting into the pro scene is so daunting and seems so impossible. And taking that leap of, you know, to really get to the pro leagues, you usually have to just, you have to quit whatever else you're doing in your life and take that plunge and hope that you can, hope that the payoff is over the hill. And so with, you know, with Overwatch League, you're watching an advertisement, and I hope it clicks in people's minds that you can do this. Like, you, if you might potentially have it in you to become a star and become a professional, and to take that jump with their life. It's so exciting.
Well, I feel like I always had friends growing up that you knew, like, man, that dude's an amazing artist. He could draw like nobody's business. Wow, that guy can play the guitar and he's never taken a lesson, you know? And, but there was always that friend as well that was like, man, that kid sat down and just whipped through Super Mario Bros. Like nobody's business, or played through Contra and didn't die. You know, there's like that level of talent that was not taboo, but it just, like, it didn't matter when I was younger.
Right, you're so right. You know, the kid that beat all his other friends at Super Smash Brothers was just like, it was just like, shrug, you're really good at this game, but that's just a thing, and it's not something that you can turn into a living or really work on.
I feel like this is finally giving legitimacy to that. Like, it's saying, hey, this is a real thing, and having a company like Blizzard stand behind it and even, you know, forge some of this is huge. I think it's a great time for gaming.
It is. It is, definitely.
So now that they've got Heroes with the HEC and the guaranteed salaries for the top 8 teams, they're coming up with the Overwatch League. Do you think we'll see this carry to the other Blizzard titles like Hearthstone and StarCraft, and even possibly Arena for Warcraft?
Maybe. Hard to say. I don't follow those scenes. I know StarCraft used to be the biggest esport in the world, and Hearthstone is very fun to watch.
No, so, it isn't.
I hope for both of those that this fills out. I think Heroes of the Storm and Overwatch are both superior games to start with, because they're team-based. And StarCraft and Hearthstone are fundamentally single-player and gives you less of a story of like how the teams are forming. And, you know, that extra human element that's required to be good at a team-based game.
Right, that makes sense.
I was actually talking to somebody after, like, right kind of towards the end of BlizzCon, and you know, Daryl and I had walked down and looked into the StarCraft arena, and I was just like, this is insane. This arena, this is like literally like,
it's, you know, so cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, performances, you know, big things go on in here, right? And I'm like, why isn't this the Heroes arena? Why isn't this the Overwatch arena? And somebody was saying, no, StarCraft is still like, that's the jam. People love StarCraft. It's like, it may not be a big thing here, but internationally it's huge. And I'm wondering if maybe next year, maybe the next year or two, we'll see Heroes or Overwatch move into that big arena, and maybe StarCraft will finally get knocked off that throne. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, League of Legends is the biggest game in the world. You know, Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft used to be, I think because of some decisions made in StarCraft Balance and for StarCraft 2, all of a sudden it got dethroned by League of Legends, and League of Legends was this huge emerging game. So MOBAs already hold the majority of the share of competitive esports. So for Heroes of the Storm, it's more of, when is the League of Legends bubble going to burst? If it's going to burst, I think it will. And how much is Heroes of the Storm going to be able to rise and fill that spot?
Well, if League of Legends can, you know, Riot, whoever can get their selves on this train and organize a similar sort of thing, you know, they've got plenty of potential too. Like,
they already have, actually.
I don't care about League of Legends, but I know that it's massive. I think it's bigger than Heroes, hands down. I know that. So.
Yeah, and that arena they have at BlizzCon, after looking at it, they only use half of the arena for StarCraft. And just the way they have the screen set up and the seating, So there's a whole bank of seats in there that aren't even being used. And looking at the Overwatch arena today, they had there, they were almost 360 around the players. So they, I think they could use that arena and use every seat in the house the way they had set up Overwatch this year. And
right,
you're getting twice as many, you're filling twice as many seats as you can with StarCraft, just the way the screens are set up and the way it's set up. So I think it might, we might even see Overwatch in there next year, just because they'd be able to, if they set it up the same way as they had it this year, they'll be able to pack it. Like, they'll be, have twice as many seats as they have for StarCraft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, Overwatch is super promising. The first person shooter, that competitive scene for first-person shooters was largely dominated by Counter-Strike for forever and ever. And so the Blizzard adding fresh blood with a game that has extra layers of strategy is super promising for Overwatch to just take over. It already has. Overwatch has gotten so big so fast.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the differences, though, between like Heroes and Overwatch and just the be able to... the ability to consume it. Like, if I were to sit down with my wife and watch a game, I guarantee you Heroes is going to be a lot easier to watch. It's 5-on-5. It's a little bit slower moving. It's like, you don't even have to know what the abilities are. You don't have to know what's going on. I know when we went over to the Overwatch arena, we were watching stuff there. Daryl, who has played Overwatch, is sitting there going, this is awesome, but I have literally no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's about how much... like the extra the 3D space that Overwatch takes up versus Heroes of the Storm makes a huge difference in terms of the spectator's like spatial awareness of where everything's positioned on the field. I have plenty of viewers that say that they can't watch me play Overwatch or first person shooters in general.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They say that they can't follow, or they get headaches, or it's hard for them to watch. Obviously, mm-hmm. just can't watch a fast-moving game, but top-down, they can watch it on their tablet. They can
exactly, they can that's the key right there.
And so it's just, there's less for you to ingest about where things are when you have a constant camera. Just like, you know, when you're watching a movie and you're directing a movie, you want to make sure that the camera is always facing from the same side of the room to the other side. If you move your camera... your vantage point too often, everyone gets confused. And that's what's happening when you watch Overwatch. It's just the camera is constantly shifting.
Well, and I felt like those top-down views where you could kind of see like the ceiling level stuff of what was going on. That was really, I like that. That was really
oh,
neat.
Oh, yes. That was really neat.
But then I'm watching, you know, McCree's point of view, and I'm going, okay, I understand why these guys are pro. Like, they're just doing stuff that I just can't do. But it also was like, hey, you know what? Gave me some ideas. Like, I could do that. I could, you know, that's a whole different approach to playing McCree or to doing, you know, or to playing May or something that was just like, it's just different. But I think you have to really want to play that game, you think?
Well, same with HOTS. It's like an onion. You can just keep peeling away the layers of knowledge and game difficulty. Uh-huh. And, you know.
Well, I know you're talking about draft, and most people are like, oh no, I want to play Li Ming. That's like as far as it goes, you know.
Yep. Most games are won or lost on draft, I feel.
I know everyone says that, and I know it's true, and I see it, but like, I don't know, like it's like when you're watching it, you don't like, I think when I'm watching the esport itself, like I'm like, hurry up, you know, they're showing the draft, I'm like, just go. I just want to watch the game. You
know? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
get to the action, you know.
But just the way you're talking, I feel we could do like a whole episode on just how to draft and stuff like that. Like, I bet.
Well, there you go. Then we won't get into that.
Yeah, we could.
We'll save it.
We might need to invite you back to talk about drafting.
Well, I'm flattered.
That's a polite way of saying no.
What? No.
I'm just kidding. Did you have anything else that you saw at BlizzCon that happened in, you know, in any of the esports that really kind of stood out to you?
Not particularly. I'm gonna go through the VODs. I've been trying to work my way through them and watch as much of the content as I can, because I heard really good things about Hearthstone. I heard the Hearthstone final was amazing. Don't spoil it. And I want to watch the Overwatch as well. Day two at BlizzCon, I just parked myself front row of the Heroes finals.
Ah, man, we were like right over by you then the whole time, like, or at least what? Through a bunch of the MVP. We were a little off to the left, but yeah.
Yeah, we were front row on the left side.
We were off on the right side.
Okay.
Apparently, I was on camera a lot. I kept getting tweets awesome. And texts like, you're back on camera. I'm like, oh.
Nice. Yep.
I know. And when you're on camera, it's like you have to be like as hyped as possible. But it like...
That was no problem.
It goes past this level where you're like, okay, I've been hyped for 30 seconds and a minute, and the guy behind the camera is like, go, 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 be hyped. And you're like, ah.
Yeah. I know that feel. But actually, after watching the grand finals, I was tuckered out. It's like, I have no adrenaline left. Like, no play could really excite me like it could in that first set.
Isn't that amazing, though, that that's the time that we live in right now? That's the era that we live in, where you can go and sit with thousands and thousands of other fans and scream and get so hyped that you actually go home and you are just like, that was like, I am tired. I'm happy and I'm tired.
Yep.
Well, Daryl, did you have any other questions?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything, and it was a good discussion on esports in general, and we had a few details as well from BlizzCon and stuff like that. So I think I'm good. Steph, do you have any last points you want to make? Anything?
I don't think so.
All right.
It's been a good time. You guys are fun.
Thanks.
Too bad I didn't see you guys at BlizzCon.
I know. And we were actually looking for you too, because I really wanted to meet you before the show tonight, but
shame. You got it. I know. Guys. Just got DM me. I love meeting
you. See, that's where I failed.
We had our go between do that for us. It was Allie.
Well, if you guys want to send us an email, it's theshow@thetrainingdummies.com. If you have any questions or want to add anything about this topic or future topics, or you could leave us a voicemail, or you can join our Discord server, and all of that information is over at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you got for shoutouts?
Oh, shoot, man. Blizzard Entertainment. Like, seriously, oh my gosh, I can't even... I feel like I need a pumpkin spice latte right now because I can't even. Where do I start? Allie, James, Missy, Tash, who else? Salty, Molson, like everybody that we got to hang with at BlizzCon. That just literally, that was my big trip of the year, and it did not. I was not let down. It was an absolutely wonderful experience. And to those on the guild and whoever didn't get to go, thank you for holding it down and doing Karazhan or whatever it is you did while we were out there. So, Daryl, what about you?
Yeah, like it's everyone we saw at BlizzCon. Like there was also Joe and Stu and Brett and yeah, everyone. Who else was there? There's so many.
Oh yeah, of course.
There's so many. We saw so many people this weekend. Like Root and Freckleface we saw again. And man, I'm drawing a blank, but there was like hundreds of people.
I know. I feel like we're going to leave people out, and I'm sorry.
And Draenei, her costume was amazing. Yeah, I'll just leave a blanket. Everyone I saw at BlizzCon this past weekend, I want to send a shout out to. Steph, who would you like to give a shout out to?
Same. No, really, I gave out so many hugs at BlizzCon, and I loved BlizzCon. It was amazing. It was it's not only my first BlizzCon, but just one of the best experiences of my life. And I left so energized and confident and excited for the future. And I'd also like to give a big shout out to Rob and Daryl for being such wonderful hosts.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. That's super awesome of you. I mean, you're the one that came on to talk to us, but thank you. All right. Well, before we wrap this up, Steph, where can people reach you if they have questions or just want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, message me anytime on Twitter at Steph Oddish, one word, STEPHODDISH. And you can reach me on Twitch at Oddish Plays Games, one word. and maybe even throw me a subscription, because that's a thing now, which is amazing.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps up episode 144 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.